This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Welcome to the July 26, 2021 For Your Benefit radio show. We're here today to welcome Michelle Bollier, a federal benefits specialist and fellow seminar presenter. And Michelle is developing a checklist specifically for federal employees who are single. The resource will be available, and it'll be available at NITP. We can talk about when maybe it'll be available. But today's program, let's talk about some of the key items with Michelle. Not with Michelle. Michelle's going to lead the she's going to lead the pack. So, good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, and thank you, Bob, and thank you for this opportunity to talk about this wonderful new checklist that we're developing.
Okay, what is on the checklist, or how does somebody use it when it comes online?
So it'll be some reminders of things for people to think about. Now, typically, most things are kind of geared for people that are married or people that have children. And I just this also came about because of a training class that I did with NITP a couple 3 months ago, and someone there asked if there was a checklist for singles. So I reached out to NITP, and they said, well, go ahead and do this. And then because as a single person, things are a little bit more simplified. We don't we're not going to elect a survivor benefit, so we don't have to think through that decision process. We don't have children to consider. We don't need to consider the spousal benefits when it comes to Social Security. So it kind of simplifies it, but it also puts in some reminders of things to make sure that you take care of to maximize your retirement income, such as making any deposits for civilian service, which the law allows you to do, for making any military service deposits or perhaps academy time deposits, so that you can maximize your income for the rest of your life.
Okay, and as people listen, this is not your first rodeo. I mean, you've done this as a career prior to setting this up, correct?
Yes, I was a federal benefits specialist for over 30 years for a federal agency. I processed, but more importantly, I counseled and trained employees for 30 years and worked with thousands of employees, making sure that they maximize their federal benefits, taking the opportunity to make their deposits for civilian time, make their redeposits if they, for some reason, decided to take their money out of the retirement system, and they now have an opportunity, perhaps, to put it back in. And then taking care of people, making sure they're making their military deposits, because military deposits, people need to pay attention to earlier, to avoid some of the interest, because we don't want to pay interest if we can't help it, if we can help it. But also that military deposit has to be completed before the person separates and from the federal agency. So that completed means not just that they submit the check, but that it processes through their payroll office, and then they get this paid in full statement so that when they do separate from the federal agency, that whole process of making a military deposit is completed. And there's been a few times where I've had employees that want to make that military deposit, and they hadn't started that process, they've had to delay their retirement. So I like to see people make their military deposit as soon as they can. Also, I like to see people make their deposits or their redeposits while they're a civilian employee or they're still employees, because one, they'll have the funds to do it, and two, it'll make their retirement go much more smoothly, that if that is taken care of and there'll be an interim payment for a shorter period of time. And that was one of the things that I personally did, because I had an opportunity to make a deposit with my benefit. And so as I was preparing to retire, and within a couple of years, I started that process and worked with the Office of Personnel Management to pay off my civilian deposit so so that when it came time for me to apply for retirement and completing the application, I could check the block that I previously filed this application, and here's my claim number. So I was on an interim pay for a shorter period of time. And so those are things that I like to see people make use of the checklist, is to look to see, okay, what can I do now? What can I accomplish now? And then just kind of go down to take care of what they need to take care of so that they can have a smooth transition in retirement and have a lovely monthly check coming in. And then helping secure their income for their future finances. The other thing that will be on the checklist, which will be, and some of these are the same for employees who are married and employees who are single. Some of the things are the same, though this particular checklist will emphasize for the single people. And one of those, is going to be the same for singles and married, is make sure if your goal is to have the health insurance in retirement, one of the most important things to do is make sure that you've had the federal employees health benefit coverage for at least 5 years immediately prior to retirement, and that being the self only is the requirement to have. And most people who are single will meet that opportunity, but we want to ensure that they have that.
And do you find it surprising the folks that you talk to really didn't know that there was certain things that they would be entitled to as a single individual, but didn't know that they could elect it or do something to change it?
Oh, most definitely, because, well, even with the federal employees retirement system that's now been around for over, certainly over 30 years, some employees don't appreciate they have a pension. And they think it's only associated with Social Security and TSP, and they don't realize that they don't know everything they're paying for and their pay, all the deductions that are coming off their pay statements. They don't really have a strong understanding of what that is in there. And it's like, no, you actually have a pension that will give you a guaranteed income for the rest of your life. That's on a monthly basis, and some people are really surprised to discover that.
I will second what you're saying, and this really did happen to me. And I don't know, 1/100 of what you know about federal benefits, but we were doing this. I won't say the agency, but anyway, we were with a bunch of other contractors, and this lady came up. She says, "Well, why would I want to talk to you?" And I said, "Well, it would. We would be able to tell you how to enhance your benefits and your pension." And she kind of got like mad at me, like I was trying to sell her something, which of course we've never sold anything since inception of the company. Mm-hmm. And I mm-hmm. said, "So that you can maximize your pension. I don't get a pension." And I said, "With all due respects, how long have you been with the federal government?" It was like 30 years. And I said, "You're entitled to a pension." And I said, "Listen, why don't we just stop here? Why don't you do this? You go back and ask your boss if you have a pension. Then come back, and if I'm wrong, I want to treat you and your four best friends to the best restaurant in town," which was safe to say because it was not in a great area. And she came back and in near tears, and she goes, I have a pension. And I said, "Good health, good pension. What's not to like?" "Oh, there thank you. You." Anyway, but she couldn't have been the only one. But again, this was outside of the proverbial beltway, and I think it was also outside of a major metropolitan area. But it was just nice to know that you could help somebody like that. And you do it every day. I'm sure somebody comes to you and says, "I kind of sort of understand the top layer, but I don't understand what's underneath." And you explain all that, and they go, "Really?"
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that I'm able to bring to my training is that I've counseled employees for decades, and I've worked with employees. I know how they think. I've created the checklist with agencies I've worked for. I actually would have a few of them do the edits or do the reviews and to assure me, it's like, okay, is this meeting your needs? Are you able to digest this, or Are you able to, does this make sense for you, federal employee at this particular agency? Or is it, because the agency I worked for was a highly educated workforce, and so there were a lot of mathematicians and scientists. Mm. And so I knew sometimes they thought a little bit differently than, say, people that were accountants or engineers or representatives. So every group has a different kind of way of thinking and different way of approaching. And I know a lot of times with engineers, they'll want to look at things from all sorts of different angles, whereas the folks that are maybe quality control people or work heavily within regulations, they're going to want to know the sources of the information. It's like, well, how do you know what you know? I want to go back and review the regulations. I want to go back and review the law. And being able to convey that information to them, it gives you some credibility that you really know what you're talking about. And with my staff, I always would say, you need to know the formulas. You need to really understand the behind-the-scenes work. And I never want to hear, well, that's what the computer told me. It's going to be your estimate, because you need to understand what the formulas are that were plugged in to generate the retirement estimates in the software.
And
so it's been delightful.
I bet, because you're helping people understand their benefits, plus you're helping mm-hmm. people with their cash flow, not reducing it, but increasing it. And
right. And that was kind of my goal. And a lot of federal employees, they don't think about financial planning as a general rule of thumb. That they work with the mission that they've been called to and the agency they work for, and all their focus is on there. And so this checklist gives them an opportunity to sit back and say, okay, let me take care of myself and what my future income could be, because at some point in time, I will leave the federal agency for whatever reason, and I want to make sure I've got a retirement income, because there's times, and especially with some single people, I've noticed that they may have left federal agencies and then they would and moved on to work with private industry, and then later on they're in their early 60s and they're thinking, oh goodness, they need to retire, and what happened to that retirement income? What happened to my retirement benefit when I left that federal agency? And so they will have reached out to me, or they may have known somebody who knows somebody will have reached out to me to say, how can I find out if I'm eligible for a deferred retirement? And so especially for single people, that is going to be so much more important to have them, give them a little bit more sense of security. If they had left their money in the retirement system, then they are, as long as they have at least 5 years of service and they've paid into the retirement system for 5 years that are vested, and then therefore they could have a little bit more financial security knowing that they could have a deferred retirement.
It's time for a break, but when we come back, let's talk about how maybe you found the people, or people listening could learn something by, if you did this, you could unlock the benefits that you'd be entitled to, and we'll give them contact points for that after we come back from the break.
Never underestimate your needs when purchasing life insurance. There are important factors to keep in mind, like future expenses and lifetime economic value. WAPA not only offers group term life insurance for civilian federal employees, but walks you through the important questions you need to ask yourself while reviewing your policy options. Life insurance is a conversation worth having. Why not have it with WAPA? Serving civilian feds and their families since 1943. Visit WAEPA.org today.
Life can be unpredictable. Stay prepared with coverage from WAPA. Civilian feds can apply for up to $1.5 million in life insurance regardless of their salary. Explore new products, including group short-term disability insurance, where you can apply for benefits up to $6,500 a month to replace income while recovering from a covered short-term disability. WAPA will help shape your policy to meet your changing needs. Visit WAEPA.org today for coverage exclusively for feds by feds.
Welcome back to the July 26, 2021 For Your Benefit Radio Show. We're here today with Michelle Bollier. And Michelle is a retired Fed, working with Feds for a long time. And then I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the light bulb went off and said, you know, I could write a program that's specifically for singles. I'm certainly skipping through any kind of detail, but is that the heart of what we're talking about?
Yeah, that is definitely the heart of what we're talking about, Bob, is we're creating a checklist specifically for single people. And did it kind of from my reference point, never having been married, always been single, and don't have children. So there's different things that we need to consider in... That's not necessarily completely different from married folks or divorced folks or widowed folks, but there's some things that we need to kind of pay attention to. And then what you were starting to talk about, the first thing is to do everything what we can for everyone is to ensure that you're going to have the maximum retirement income with your basic benefit or the civil service retirement system. And that is to see if it makes sense to make a deposit for that time to count as a civilian towards when you're eligible to retire or what your retirement income could be. And that income is a monthly benefit for the rest of your life. So most people here are probably in FERS, and because that's the system that's been around for certainly way more than 30 years now. And you would complete a standard form 3108 or application to make a service credit payment. And you would complete the first page of the form. And you can use your favorite search engine to find that on OPM's webpage. I also believe there's a reference on NITPinc.com's website on resources and forms. And then once you complete the first page of that form, you would submit it to your HR office, your benefit specialist, your retirement counselor, and then they would complete the second page. And then it goes to the Office of Personnel Management and gets the whole ball rolling for both getting an estimate of how much money you owe and the process of about going how paying it. And I mentioned earlier about the military deposit. And the military deposit, folks would go to start the process through DFAS.mil, that's DFAS.mil, and in there they can follow some of the links that are available to civilian employees who then can make a military deposit, and they follow the links and information there to find out how to get their estimated earnings. And then from that, they would also complete the standard form 3108, they're in FERS again, and work with their HR office or their benefits or retirement counselor to make that military deposit. So that's kind of the first thing I always have people do. And then make sure that they've got the health insurance for at least 5 years. And then after that, for single people, when it comes time to retire, the survivor benefit to elect, you're probably going to elect a lifetime-only benefit. And so that makes that decision process a little bit easier. You don't need to find, say, a marriage certificate if you're married. You don't need to add additional documentation. And then once they do decide to think about applying for Social Security, then they're probably going to look at it for them just themselves of what their income could be. And then it's the same decision process. Do I start when I'm 62? Do I wait till my full retirement age that Social Security allows? Or do I wait to age 70, or do I do something in between? And then thinking through what's going to make the most sense for them and that. Because they're probably only going to be themselves that they need to take into consideration. I found I needed to apply for some TSP income a couple of 3 months ago. And I found as a single person, that was a really easy process. I was able to do it all online. Because I wasn't married, I didn't need to reach out to get my spouse's consent and share that with TSP. And that would have required some additional forms to complete. But because I was single and it was just me, then I was able to apply and set up my TSP payment all online. And so that just simplified the process there, too. But there's one thing I think as single people we need to be more cognizant of, that maybe married people, it's a little bit different, because one of the things I found as a single person, it's kind of a lonely journey in terms of thinking about retiring, because there's not a lot of people you can talk with about it, because most of our family or friends don't have similar benefits that the federal government does provide. So you can't really talk about things as freely as maybe you could with a spouse. Just say, well, what if we did this, and what if we did this, and what if we did this? I found it to be a little bit of a lonely experience. I could certainly talk to some of my federal friends, but it was a little bit of a I just found some other resources out there. And then once I did make the decision to do it, I would have family and friends say, we're really happy for you, but what are you doing for health insurance? You're retiring in your 50s. You're not eligible for Medicare. What are you doing for health insurance? And I could say, it's okay, I figured it out. Well, that's because as federal employees, we're able to take that health benefit into retirement. And as long as we've had at least the cell phone, we are covered as a family member 5 years immediately prior to retirement. And then we have the benefit of the government to continuing to pay a large portion of the cost for the health benefits, too. So that, too, brings a sense of financial security going forward.
Okay, so I'm sitting here. You just brought that up. Let's say it's an individual that's soon to be married, or it's a married individual that's soon to be divorced. Are there things that either one need to do before that date happens? With regard
to... Okay, so you had two different things there. So let's do this in two different ways.
Good.
Okay, so if they're soon to be married and they're still employed, then they can add their spouse into their health benefits within 60 days of the marriage. And then they might want to just update their designation of beneficiaries, too, so that they can be set up to go to the people they want them to go to. If they are soon to be divorced, that is kind of an interesting question, because that, too, allows, if you're a federal employee and you're soon to be divorced and your spouse had cheaper, better coverage, and now you need to get on the health benefits, you can do that within 60 days of the date of the event, the effective date of the divorce. So I've had a couple employees almost boastfully say, my spouse has cheaper, better coverage. I'm going to stay with my spouse. And it turns out the spouse decided to leave him when he was in his early 50s. So now he was able to pick up the health benefits because that's a qualifying life event. But now he had to work another 5 years to be able to take that into retirement. So that was kind of a different consideration there, too. And then once they come to the time of getting retiring, then there's some different things they'll need to pay attention to on their retirement application. And that can take us down a whole different avenue, Bob. Maybe we'll do that for a separate conversation. But what you're saying kind of reminded me of something else to remind everybody, especially single people, too, is to review your designation of beneficiaries. You'll find those, if you've completed them, in your official personnel folder, which you should have available to you electronically now, that you can review the designation of beneficiary for life insurance, which you would find on an SF-2823, the designation of beneficiary for retirement, that's the pension part, that's the part of the benefit, FERS, and that would be under Standard Forms 3102. And then there's the unpaid compensation, which is any monies the agency owes you, last salary check, unused annual leave. And that would be on a Standard Form 1152. And if you've completed those, and those would be in your official personnel folder. And then the fourth one to look at is your designation of beneficiary for your Thrift Savings Plan, or TSP. And that would be on a TSP 3. And I mentioned that because unfortunately, I've had to process a number of death cases because sometimes employees would pass away as an employee. So I processed a number of death cases. And sometimes employees will fill out the designation of beneficiary as part of their entrance on duties. And so they put who was most significant to them at the time and say maybe they put their parents down. But then they would either maybe get married or have children. And then, or in my case, my parents deceased. And so those designation of beneficiaries are not up to date and accurate. And so as time goes on, it's going to be important to make sure that those are up to date and accurate if that becomes necessary. Now, if there's no designation of beneficiaries on file, that's okay because there can be order of precedence. An order of precedence would go to a current spouse or to eligible or to children evenly divided or their descendants. Or the third step would be to looking at the parents evenly divided. And then the fourth step would be to the estate or the next of kin as defined by the state that they reside in at the time of death. So there's all sorts of things to kind of consider in putting together and reviewing those to make sure it's up to date. Now, as a single, for married people, they typically, they're going to want that to go to their spouse. And or they're going to want it to go to their children, evenly divided. But oftentimes, there's going to be other things that people want to have done, particularly for single people, that they, like in my case, we don't have the first three, you know, we won't have a spouse, we won't have children, our parents may have already passed on. And then it's trying to get them set up and how you want that money. So that's going to be one of the things we're going to put in the checklist is to build a cadre of professionals. Such as yourself, Bob, which be, you know, having a tax person to help with the tax consequences of everything and thinking that through. And then a financial planner looking at a big picture from a financial planner's perspective, you know, when should you start taking your money out of Social Security? When might you want to retire? When might, or how much, or how do you want to withdraw your TSP? And then the third professional in your cadre would be an estate planner. And how do you want things distributed? And that gets typically, if a person's married, a lot of times that will default to the spouse or default to the children. But if you're not married, then if that's not set up, then what happens? And so trying to have control the situation and trying to have it be what you want it to be and starting to get those things set up and established and to think about. And all of that's going to be in the checklist too. So we're going to have it, not just the federal benefits, though that will be a part of it, but we're going to expand it. And I kind of took the model, Bob, is a 3-day class that NITP offers as kind of how I would frame this checklist. It's like, okay, so the first day is on the federal benefits, but then the second day would typically be on TSP and taxes, and then there would be another opportunity to think about estate planning and financial planning. And then the third day would be whatever wasn't covered the first 2 days. And then usually there'd be something that's like, okay, where do we go forward now? What do we need to think about going into the future? What are the psychological approaches to things? Or, do we move? What are the tax considerations if we want to move to another state, et cetera?
It's interesting, listening to everything you say. I even after all these years, still don't know a lot about what you do. Unfortunately, I've been able to ask questions of Tammy and others over the years, and they just, you again? And I go, yeah, I got one of these questions. But when you teach, are you ever surprised at maybe it's a large percent, certainly not it's 100%, of the people that they kind of sort of knew that they had the benefit, but they didn't know about how to maximize it? The annuity.
Oh, most definitely. I would say that happens just about every time I teach a class. that because, again, they put so much of their emphasis on their career and their job and the mission of the agency, it's pretty rare that they step back and look at their own personal benefit. And I've kind of known, I'm pretty passionate to make sure that people are putting at least 5% in TSP. And then I like employees to bring their pay statements with them to a training class to give them an opportunity to review it. Because a lot of times, and even now when I'm doing individual counseling, people will tell me, I thought I was maximizing on my TSP contributions. It's like I'm doing the 15%. It's like, well, actually, the percentages went away a long time ago. The maximum now is based on a dollar amount. And they just had never, they didn't read the memo. Things were so overwhelming. They didn't know that they could do the catch-up for TSP. So, well, let me back up just a tad. So the maximum contributions right now for the first savings plan is $19,500. So if you're looking at your pay statement and you're not doing at least $750 per pay period, you're not on track for maximizing your contributions for the first savings plan for regular contributions. And so just about every time I teach a class, that's been, oh, I thought I was doing that. Or I thought, I didn't realize that temporary time when I worked for the Peace Corps, that would give me an opportunity for that time to count in my retirement. Okay, let me go back to the TSP before I get a little too distracted there. So then the catch-up contributions now are up. So for those of us who are blessed to be age 50 or older, the year we turn 50, we can do an additional $6,500 into TSP. And so that gives a maximum opportunity for this year to do the $26,000 for the year. And the other thing I'll mention to employees is say, if you decide to retire in the middle of the year, you can still do the maximum amount that the year would allow before you separate. So if you go out, say, the end of, we're in July. Let's say you go out the end of September, the end of the fiscal year. Sometimes people like to go out then. You can still maximize your TSP contributions, put in the $26,000 for the year, and retire in September. And people are surprised to learn that. And then, and again, they're surprised to learn that they can make a deposit for some civilian time, temporary service, when they work for federal agencies. And that would have had been before 1989. The other thing I found that some people are surprised about is that they have military academy time. That they can allow that military time, or that academy time, they're allowed to make a deposit for that time too. And that's a real surprise for people. So I would say, Bob, just about every time I teach a class, somebody is surprised with something that they weren't aware, they hadn't taken the time, they didn't have the opportunity to pay attention to. And this is a really good time for people to step back and to look to say, okay, what can I do for myself to enhance my future financial income? And there are several things that they can do to help themselves there.
Very good. Why don't we take a break? And we've got a spot here for NITP. We'll come back, and after we come back, we'll probably have 15, 20 minutes. Andrew says yes. I don't look at the clock all the time, but he reminds me we're about ready to be cut off. Anyway, let's listen to the spot, and then we'll be right back.
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
Okay, Michelle, we're heading into the final lap, if you will. And for the folks that are just tuning in, or the folks that have been here from the beginning, Michelle is a retired Fed and currently developing a checklist on a computer, right, for federal employees who are single. Yeah, it's not a piece of paper, folks. It'll be. When do you think you'll have that on the ground?
My goal would be certainly to have it on the ground and ready for folks to download or review online on NITP's webpage within the next month. Wow. I mean, I'd want to say it's going to be sooner, but I would rather say it's going to be a little bit later. But I really hope it's available in the next couple of weeks. But let's just be a little more cautious and say within the next month for sure.
That's good business thinking. Yes, very good. All right, we got an email question. Do single federal employees have to work longer in order to meet one's retirement needs? That's the first part of two questions. Second, does the strategy of applying for Social Security benefits change with no spouse? How about that?
Okay, so that's a great question. So do they need to work longer? It's really going to depend on your situation. Just because you're single does not necessarily need to work longer. It's more, where are you financially? And what financial goals do you have? Another thing that people need to do before they plan to retire, which was something I made sure I did, is I made sure my TSP loan was paid off before I retired. So that's another kind of sometimes need to work a little bit longer so that I meet that financial goal. But just because you're single doesn't mean you need to work longer, because the requirements to be eligible to retire are based on age and length of service, and length of credible service. It's just, where are you financially? And actually, when my friends that were federal employees, they had retired, and they all kept saying, come join us, come join us, come join us. It's like, yes, but the big difference is you all have spouses with income. And for me, it's just myself. I need to feel financially secure that I would be okay for myself. And that's when I did reach out to a financial planner and say, I'm going to pay you a flat fee, but let's look at the big picture of when it would make sense for me to do that. And that helped with me feeling secure for myself that I would have the income I would need for the rest of my life. And then, how would you mind telling me again the second question?
Okay, it is actually two questions came in. So,
the second part of the first one.
I'm just doing the first part now. Secondly, does the strategy of applying for Social Security benefits change with no spouse?
So it may or may not. There, sometimes we'll say, okay, you want to think about delaying your Social Security as long as possible, because it could affect what the spouse's income could be down the road. But as a single person, you look at it a little bit differently to say, okay, is there something else I could do to maximize my Social Security income, which would be delay it to at least your full retirement age, or perhaps, you know, 68, 69, 70, so that I can have the maximum income for the rest of my life. So you just have to take your particular financial situation into consideration. You don't have to think about what the needs would be for someone else. So, but with your financial specific finances would be, again, you've got your basic benefit, and you also have your TSP, and then you've got, and then there's going to be some tax considerations, but maybe you want to delay collecting Social Security because you can get that higher benefit, and maybe take money out of TSP if you need some income. And that's one strategy some people are doing. Okay, what was the second question, Bob?
Okay, the divorce rate among senior citizens is booming. And that is one of the reasons that the majority of the population is becoming single. So there are so many positives to being single, but the reality is at the end, we might not have the friends who are in a nursing home, and maybe somebody visits and maybe somebody doesn't. So I believe the question here is, what do I do to make sure I don't fit into that description? And that would, you know, it's easy for me to ask that question, but it'd be real hard for me to answer that question. I mean, what do you do? If somebody's shy, they're not going to become effervescent. Or maybe they're clubs, and I know they're single clubs, and I know they're this and that. But some people are just quiet, and they leave. Their job was their social life, but there's no more. There's not much of a social life left. And this is probably more psychological stuff than it is benefit maximization. But they might not know all the things that they're entitled to, and they would have to share their lack of knowledge with somebody. It doesn't have to clearly be a spouse. Certainly doesn't need to be an ex-spouse. But do you find people in the class maybe come up to you at the break, or they'll email you and they'll be more open to discussing that over an email than they would in class?
Bob, it's funny that that question would come up, because that's the part that I'm kind of working on right now. This is why the checklist is not quite finished, is that kind of the next steps. What do I need to think about after I've retired? Because we didn't realize how much of our social outlet was related to work. And I certainly have found that my friendships the vast majority of them shifted after retiring. And then this whole pandemic has put in a whole wrench into people's social life. And so, that's kind of like the third thing to really, or another part of the cadre, is to develop some really trusted friends, to build new friendships, to find new ways to meet people, to get to know people, taking some classes. Sometimes that, once we're able to do that online or that in person, it's a little bit easier to have those conversations with people and those informal conversations. So taking some classes, finding some opportunities perhaps to travel. There's lots of opportunities to travel as a solo traveler right now. I love to travel, and I'm finding it to be pretty freeing to travel alone. But I'll hook up with a group of like interests, and that's another way to meet people, and then you never know where those friendships would go. And then there's other volunteer opportunities within the community. There may be active single or senior organizations in the community to become active in. It's sometimes a little bit of going out of the comfort zone, doing some internet research. So I just did an internet research that said, retiring as a single person. And that brought me to all sorts of different pages, not necessarily focusing on federal, but then there's also, I've been looking at, traveling solo. And there you kind of want to reach out to talk to people to make sure that you're working with a reputable company, because we all know that sometimes people may put themselves out there offering services of some sort, and they don't really have your best interests in mind. You want to make sure you're going to be working with a reputable company. But then some of the other things that we don't really want to think about, and this is where personally I'm struggling. So I'll be honest, I've got some things on my adult to-do list, and that's like setting up a power of attorney, that if I become incapacitated, who would I ask to kind of help with that? Who would be my advocate at a hospital or a nursing home? Who would go in and step up and fight for me if I'm not able to do that? And so those are things I'm going to have on the checklist, but I don't want there to be any illusions out there. And I'm doing this as I'm going along, and I have this And I'm discovering these things as I go along and kind of sharing this with others as I'm learning too. And I don't want people to know that I have it completely together, because I don't. I have a few things on my adult to-do list, and Bobby might even chuckle. It's still on my adult to-do list this year to finish my 2020 taxes. But I have until October 15th, so I'm good there.
I'm going to ask you, you too?
Yes.
I'm the worst client to myself. It's a true story. My dear spouse would, are you going to do this? Well, it's not October 15th. What's the rush? Anyway.
Yes. It's like somebody told me a new deadline. It's like, oh, goodness, that probably, it's going to be what it's in my CPA. He'll say, like, okay, Michelle.
Am I going to get it? It's probably the most stressful time for people, as well as, you know, on the other side of the desk, you know, the tax preparer or tax professional. You know, there's only so many hours before midnight that day, and I used to do this many years ago when I was a little dizzier. I would go down to the post office in D.C., the main post office, and set up a table for last-minute questions.
You knew where your audience was.
And they were nice. I wasn't doing it for money or whatever. I was just doing it to explain. I mean, it lasted a few years because it was actually kind of fun, because you were helping people. And, you know, they're not going to tell you every nickel they make, but they, you know, they have that last-minute question. Anyway, enough of all that. Now they'll be able to go into a computer program, right? And what'd you say?
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks? Few months?
Yes. Well, we want to get this taken care of. And then, yeah, so it's set up kind of like, you know, do we need to set up powers of attorney, healthcare directive, maybe think about, and do we need to consider a trust? So how do wills work with federal benefits? And they don't. Federal benefits could take priorities over a will, but that's kind of be for another discussion. So those would be some things to kind of consider. And back to kind of the question the person was asking, as I said, a lot of times we have to start to reach out of our comfort zone and find new opportunities. So during the pandemic, we're all shelter in place. And I live in California, so we're pretty strict about the sheltering in place requirements. But I did reach out to my neighbors. And I got to know my neighbors pretty well. And we had some rules. We had a driveway group, and with, you know, bring your own food, bring your own drink, 6 feet apart was kind of the rule. We would rotate driveways. And that was, you know, that was kind of me going outside of my comfort zone, because innately I'm shy and I'm an introvert, but I knew I had to see eyeballs, because I just could not sit in the house all day for months on end. And so even doing things on the computer, I still needed to see some eyeballs. And so getting outside of our comfort zone sometimes is important to do.
It's interesting you say that. Believe it or not, I'm introverted. I love doing the seminars at the agencies, because I look at it more, I'm helping people understand the thing that nobody understands, taxes, or not many. I won't say nobody. And, you know, it makes you feel good. Some will call afterwards, some will email in later, or, you know, family, friends, or say, what do you think about this? And you can't talk about dollars with somebody that's maybe very close to you, unless you'd say, you know, this would help if you do it, but I'll give you a range answer if in case it's between this number and that. And, you know, they appreciate that, because I don't really want to know, but I need to know something. And you would know this probably better than I, to be able to say, here, if you do X, Y, or Z, now you'll have a program to say, check this out.
Right.
Okay, what do we got, Andrew? Andrew says we have about 3 more minutes. Or no, Andrew says 2.5.
I've got one more question. Maybe I reached out to the person that asked me if there was such a checklist. And I reached out to him and I said, okay, here's my draft. Am I missing anything you're thinking of? And Bob, this might be kind of more of your question too, because one of the things he was trying to figure out is how do I set up an income stream with the tax consequences in mind, particularly regarding the cost for Part B of Medicare and the IRMA?
Well, the IRMA probably as time goes on, you might get closer to IRMA because your income's going up, and the IRMA threshold doesn't necessarily keep pace with inflation and the like. But some people go, who's IRMA? I'm serious. I'm not trying to be funny with that. And I go, I give the long-winded. I even forget what it is. I keep it written down at the desk. And I said, whatever it means is if your income exceeds a certain level, and then some people will want a plan for 1 year to keep the income lower and then kick it up in the next year. Now, that's really getting into planning. But anyway, Andrew says, you got 1 minute, so you better plan to talk fast.
Okay.
So, Michelle, okay. Why don't you take the lead in the final comments?
All right. Well, thank you that we've had for this opportunity to be able to do a focus on federal employees or retirees who are single. A lot of times in the classes, we get a little, we kind of have to get a little quiet because of the other questions that have come forward. But there's just some great things that people can do to set themselves up personally, to build their cadre of professionals, and then to start thinking about some other things, such as establishing some friendships and making some new friends, and finding other things to do of interest. And then keeping as active as long as possible between our minds and our hands and our bodies so that we can enjoy life as much as possible while we can be healthy.
Well, I can't add to that. That was just great. Andrew says, what am I going to do to fill the time? I don't know, but it couldn't end any better than that one. So, Michelle, thank you ever so much. And
you're welcome.
We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WEPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.